Genesis chapter 25, verses 27 to 34, as we read here in the Word of God. And as the boys grew, Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in the tents. And Isaac, verse 28 of Genesis 25, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" We're down in verse number 33 of Genesis 25. And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again we do come to you and we thank you for all your many blessings and for each other here, Father. We thank you, Father, for the goodness that you show to us. And now, Lord, as we look into the Word of God, we pray this day, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would search our hearts and teach us. Lord, just stir our hearts and souls as only you can do. And we just pray and ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would have your will and way. In Jesus' name, amen. We look here in Genesis chapter 25, and we looked in verses 27 to 34, and we find the stolen birthright. We have these two boys, Jacob and Esau, and the birthright was the promise of God to Abraham, that in Abraham's seed and all of his descendants, all the families of the earth should be blessed. And that was God's promise, but then it also involves the birth of Christ. But Esau despised his birthright, and really what it comes down to is what it's saying here is he really didn't need Christ. He was not dependent on Jesus Christ. And my friends, there are folks in this world today that really don't need Christ. So they think. They know about Christ in their head. They've read about Christ. They've heard about Christ. But yet they do not receive Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. They think they can get along in life fine just without Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, we're not going to get very far without the Lord Jesus Christ. Not going to get to heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. I've met people over the years, you have too, and perhaps before you were saved, maybe you thought this way, "I'm going to get there some way, I'm going to make it, and when I die, somehow, some way, God will take me to heaven." No, the Bible said there's one way. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Jacob here, and we look at Jacob and Esau. Esau felt that he didn't need Christ. It's a picture of the lost, and also we can look at it as a picture of the carnal Christian. It could be a picture of a lost person, an unsaved person. He knows he needs to be saved, but he don't get saved. There's a lot of men and women like that in the world today. They know they need to be saved, but they just don't get saved. I can think of people over the years that I have dealt with and people I have talked to that I have taken the Word of God and shared with them how to be saved. And many people receive Christ, but I have seen people literally sit in their home or whatever and sitting there with tears coming down their face saying, "I wish I could believe this, but I can't." I remember one day going through some apartment buildings and knocking on doors and handing out tracts and talking to people. And one young lady standing there at the door, we were talking, and I asked her, I said, "If you were to die right now, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven?" I mean, conversation had gone on before. And she said, "Well, I'm not sure of heaven." I said, "Would you like to be?" She said, "Oh, I'd like to be sure." And I went through the Word of God and showed her how to be sure of heaven. You know what she said to me? "Well, that's all fine, but my church doesn't teach that, and so I'm not going to believe it." I said, "You believe the Bible?" She said, "Oh, yes, but I don't believe that." That's strange, and it's sad. You know, this man here, Esau, he didn't need Christ. There are a lot of people like that, and yet this lady said, "I want to be saved, but I don't want to believe this." I said, "How are you going to get to heaven?" And she began to tell me about all her good works and good deeds and what she was going to try to do to get to heaven. I said, "How many good deeds and how many good works must you do to get to heaven?" She said, "I don't know. I'll have to wait till I die and find out." That's like playing Russian roulette. You know what Russian roulette is? Put one bullet in the gun and spin the chamber and you just hope that it doesn't fire. And you know, that's a pretty sad game to play with one soul. The Bible said, "What would a profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul?" But yet it's also the picture of a carnal Christian. One who's saved, they rely on themselves, their thinking, their aims, their ideas, their ambitions. They know Christ, but they're worldly in their thinking and they're worldly in their actions. But go down to verse 27. Jacob and Esau. In verse 27, "And as the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents." Jacob was a man's man. He was a hunter. He was an outdoorsman. He was a rugged man. Or when you look at Esau, you think, man, this is a man. But then Jacob, in verse 28, Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage and so on. And you read about Jacob. And Jacob, you read, there's a difference between Jacob and Esau. Esau was the hunter, the mighty man, the outdoorsman. He was the rough, rugged type. Jacob, he was the mama's boy. He helped with the cooking. You say, what's wrong with that? Well, boys didn't do that back then. They just didn't do it. He wasn't the outdoorsman. He was tied to his mother's apron strings. Basically, he was a sissy. But let's go on down to something else. So here's the difference. And if you would look at it, and if you looked at the two, you would come along and say, man, I'd pick Esau. He's a man. But we're going to see something down here. Go to Genesis 27:36. There's a difference between these two boys. In Genesis 27, in verse number 36, and he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? In Genesis 27:36, he has supplanted me. His name is supplanter. You know what that means? Cheat, twister, deceived by treachery. Jacob deceived his brother Esau. He cheated his brother Esau. He was a liar. He was crooked. He lied to his father in chapter 27 about the stolen blessing. And he wanted the birthright, and he did it by dishonest means. He double-crossed his brother, and yet his desire for it did express his faith, but he did it by dishonest means, and he was a sneak. Go to chapter 25 of Genesis. We find these two brothers here. We find the difference in them. Notice in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 34. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He rejected God's grace. He rejected his birthright. You know, that's sad for a person to reject the grace of God. You know, the Bible said God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to get saved. That's why Jesus died on the cross, did he not? He died for the sins of the whole world. He just didn't die for the sins of a select few. But the sad part of it is most people will not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the sad part. Most people will not receive Him. There's people who know about Jesus, but they've not received Him as their Savior. And there's a big difference there. Why don't people receive Christ as their Savior? It's because it's the attitude of sin. Go to Proverbs 14:12. That's the spirit of Esau. He rejected God's grace. He despised his birthright. And through that would come Jesus Christ. And he despised it. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but it brings death. When people come along in their life and say, I know, and I've heard people say, I know this is what the Bible says, but this is what I'm going to do. Or people say, I'm going to get to heaven my own way. Listen, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. People die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. I think we live in a day and age where a lot of people don't even want to admit there's a hell, but the Bible said there is a hell. Just as there's a heaven, and it's great to sing the wondrous love of Jesus, and when we all get to heaven, you know, the Bible said there is a heaven. It's a wonderful, exciting place. But just as there's a heaven, there is a hell. And without Jesus Christ, that's where folks are going. It's not because God's a meanie, and preachers don't preach that because they're trying to scare people into getting saved. It's a fact. It's just like you say you're driving down the road, and the bridge is out, and you stand there, and the officer... I mean, you could stand there with a flashlight or lantern and flag people down and say, you can't go on. The bridge is out. If you go on, you'll go down the canyon and kill yourself. They say, oh, what do you know? And they drive on. But they find out in the end when they drive off the road and come to destruction. They say, that officer was so nice. He was so nice, but you know what? He doesn't know what he's talking about. That bridge has been there for years. You see, a lot of people look at that attitude the same thing with the Word of God. Would God really let people die and go to hell? If people die and go to hell, let me show you. Go keep a bookmark in Proverbs. And let's go over to John chapter 3. And I'll show you the sin that sends people to hell. John chapter 3. I run into people that say, well, wait a minute. You're going to tell me God is so mean that He'd send you to hell? No, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everyone to get saved. John chapter 3. Let's begin with verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means anybody, isn't that a wonderful verse? Anybody, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That word perish means that they won't go to hell. Whosoever believeth in Him won't go to hell, will not perish, but have everlasting life, and that's forever. Verse 17 of John 3, For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, so that the world through Him might be saved. God didn't send Jesus to condemn people. The law condemned people. The law showed us that we're all sinners, but He came into the world that the world through Him, Christ, might be saved. Now, verse 18. He that believeth on Him, the context is Christ, is not condemned. My friends, if you believe in Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation. You won't go to hell once you're saved. But he that believeth not, here's the sin that sends people to hell, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the sin that sends people to hell because they've not believed in Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. There's a lot of gruesome sins in this world. But the sin that sends people to hell is not receiving Christ. Say, can God forgive any sin? Yes, He can. If we ask, people have got to ask. That's why when Jesus died on the cross for sinners, and the Bible said, if we believe in our heart, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's go back to Proverbs. The sin when people go to hell is because they don't receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. God pleads with people to be saved. The Holy Spirit convicts the hearts of people to be saved. But the decision is theirs. God won't send an angel down to twist your arm and say, you better get saved. He won't send somebody by to knock on your door or ring your doorbell and say, here's a telegram from God. God wants you to get saved. No, He gave it to us in the Word of God. And He wants us to be saved. You know, it's like the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man is in hell, and he looks up to Abraham across that great gulf, and he said, send Lazarus to send a dip, to send some water that he could put on my tongue. I'm tormented in the flame. And Abraham said, you know, there's a great gulf fixed. He can't come down to you, and you can't come up here. Once you're in hell, you won't get out. Once you're in heaven, praise God, we'll never go to hell. But you know what He did? He said they've got Moses and the prophets, meaning the Old Testament was a completed Bible at the time. The New Testament was being written. He said, let them believe Moses and the prophets. The rich man said, nay, Father Abraham, they won't believe. But now somebody went from the dead. Jesus said, if they won't believe the Word of God, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe a miracle. A lot of people are looking for some angel to come and flutter in front of them, or a telegram from heaven, or some big miracle to happen. Jesus said, if they won't believe the Word of God, they won't believe anything else. That's why He gave us the Word of God. Amen? Now notice here in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 to 7. Esau rejected God's grace. He despised his birthright. And that's the basic attitude of sin. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. You might say, preacher, sometimes I don't understand all this stuff. Listen, we are a lot of things we don't understand. When a person is not saved, they don't understand a lot of things other than the fact that basically people will tell you, I know I sinned. That's why Jesus died on the cross for your sin. And all you need to understand is that God loves you. Jesus paid the price for your sin, and He'll forgive you of all your sin and wash them away just as if it never happened. If you believe by faith and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. So I don't understand it, but the Bible says it's there. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Then He said in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Be not wise in thine own eyes. You know, things can deceive us. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The way of a fool. Some people, they're right in their own eyes. Oh, we need to listen to the counsel of God, do we not? Unsaved people, listen to the counsel of God and trust in Christ and get saved. And for saved folks, listen to the counsel of God and believe and trust in the Lord and follow Him each and every day of our lives. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. You know what it's saying? Sometimes in our own eyes, people will say, I'm not so bad, I'm not a sinner, I'm a pretty good person, but the Lord weighs the spirit. And God knows who are His. And God knows those folks who are saved if they're serving Him. And go to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the spirits. See, a lot of times people justify it in their own eyes, in their own mind, in their own heart. But God, the Bible says. But God, the Lord, ponders the hearts. God knows our heart. You know what the Bible says? God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows what we think and He knows what's in our heart. He knows what our intentions are. This morning, if you know not Christ as your Savior, God knows all about you. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your soul. He knows your spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God pleads with your heart to come and trust in Jesus Christ because Jesus died in your place on the cross of Calvary and He shed His blood in every stripe He bore. He did it just for you and me. Amen? But you know what? When we're saved, it's the same thing. God still knows once we're saved. He knows our thoughts. He knows the intents of our hearts. He knows our attitude. He knows everything there is about us. And you're reading over there in the Psalms, God understands our thoughts afar off. He knows our uprising, our downsetting. He knows everything there is to know about us. And oh, how we need to draw close to Him. And the Bible says the Lord ponders the hearts. Folks, He looks at our hearts. But I come back to this and I was studying about Jacob and Esau. Esau was a man's man and Jacob was not. And sometimes we look outwardly and we say, "Amen." But look at all the things Esau had going for him. But when we study it, he despised his birthright. He rejected God's grace. And when you look externally, why God used Jacob. Sometimes we look at people and we say, "Oh, there's a nice, handsome couple," or "there's this person." Yeah, you ever look at people and, you know, they say, "Don't judge a book by its cover." And if we're not careful, we'll judge people by outward appearance. God looks in our heart. And we could look outwardly at Jacob and Esau and say, "Man, now Esau, he was a rugged man. He's a man that you'd want to travel in through the mountains and the valleys and through the hills and preach the gospel." I don't know if Jacob could quite hack it in South Chicago there, where Joel is. You know, you got to have some grit and backbone. You said, "Young lady, you've been to South Chicago. Sissies don't make it there, do they?" And so we'd say, "Man, I'd take someone like Esau." But you know what? God saw something in Jacob. Why did God use Jacob? Because Jacob knew what he was. He was a liar, a cheat, a sneak. He knew he was a sinner. And he came to total despair. And God loved Jacob not for what he was, but God loved Jacob for what God could do with Jacob. And you know what, my friends? God loves you for what He can do with you. God loved Saul of Tarsus not for what he was, but for what God could do with him. God loves you not for what you are, but for what God can do for you. Go with me to Genesis 32. God can only begin when you admit your need for Christ. Over Genesis 32, and we're going to go down to verse 24. Esau never admitted his need. He never admitted that he needed to be saved. He never admitted his need to follow the Lord. Some folks never admit their need for salvation. Some saved people never admit their need to draw closer for God. And let me say this, brother and sister in Christ, and I say this out of love. If you're in the place of thinking, "I'm a pretty good Christian, I'm the best Christian I can be, I don't need any improvement." If you ever get to that place, let me say this lovingly, that's what the Bible refers to as called being backslidden. Because let me tell you, there ain't a one of us. Saul said, "I've never attained it." Paul, rather, when he became Paul, God used him to write most of the New Testament. He said, "I've not attained. I've not attained." You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, "I'm not all what I ought to be. But praise God, Christ is all in all." Amen? I've met folks over the years that have told me, "Preacher, I'm a good person. I don't do this and this." I've actually had people as a pastor, I've had people tell me, "I don't have any need for improvement." That's sad. All of us. I need room for improvement. You need room for improvement. All of us. You know, the only way you and I are going to be perfect is when we get to heaven. Amen? That's the only time we're going to be perfect, but praise God, we have a perfect Savior. Look over here with me in Genesis 32, verse 24. "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him," when the man, this is the angel of God, you know, God sent an angel to wrestle with Jacob. "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he," the man, the angel, "touched the hollow of his," Jacob's thigh. "And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said," Jacob said in verse 26, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." They wrestled all night. "And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Pardon me, the angel said, "Let me go, the day breaketh." Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." "And he said unto him, What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." "And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hath prevailed." He said, "What's your name?" Well, he knew he was Jacob, but the significance is, he said, "Jacob, tell me who you are." You know what he wanted Jacob to do? Admit that he was a sinner. Jacob said, "My name's Jacob." The name Jacob, supplanter, means cheat, thief, sneak. Jacob admitted his sin. Jacob admitted who he was. The angel of God knew who he was. But he wanted Jacob to admit who he was. Oh, that when we stand before God one day, all things will be revealed. But let me tell you this, we as people, and if you don't know Christ as your Savior, need to come before God and admit, "The Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I need to be saved." And as Christians, we need to get to the place and not have that sinful pride, but that place to say, "God, I'm a sinner and I need your help and I need you to forgive me. And God, I want you to bless me." And God said, in effect, to Jacob, "That's what I've been waiting for you to admit who you are. Call yourself by your own name." God said in verse 28, "Now I'll change it." In 2 Corinthians 5, I think it's verse 17, said, "If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." When you trust in Christ as your Savior, old things are passed away. Saul of Tarsus was a man of influence and stature and social standing. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He says, "It's touching the law, blameless." In other words, Saul of Tarsus could say, "I've never broke one part of the law. Because I'm pretty good." But he missed having one thing, and that was Jesus Christ as Messiah, as Savior. As a member of the Sanhedrin, he's the one who ordered Stephen to be stoned to death. In other words, he ordered the execution of a man who preached the gospel and murder was on his hands. But he said, "No, as touching the law, I'm blameless." Because he thought there was no guilt in persecuting Christians because of the zeal for his faith. And God met him on the road to Damascus. And Saul of Tarsus received Jesus as his Savior. And he forgave him of that sin of sinful pride and murder and everything else. And he said, "I'll change your name from Saul to Paul." He gave him a new start in life. You might say, "Preacher, that's fine. I've never murdered anybody." Look, you know what? The Bible said sin is sin. The book of James, if you just break one part of the law, you're guilty of all. That's kind of hairy when you stop and think about it. If I just break one part, I'm guilty of all. Thank the Lord we have a Savior who said, "If any man's in Christ," the Bible says, "we're a new creature. All things are passed away." Let me say this. God will change the life of the person who comes to Him by faith asking to be saved. And God will change the life of the saved person who comes to Him admitting their need and asking for help. Verse 26 here of Genesis 32. And he said as they wrestled all night, "Let me go," the man said, the angel, "let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." You ever pray all night? Not let go of God's ear till He blesses you? That's where Jacob was, and he as he wrestled, and he said, "I won't let you go. I want God's blessing on my life." The desire that he had to have the blessings of God. In verse 25, "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him," the man in verse 24, "the angel that God sent, he touched the hollow of his," Jacob's thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. You know the sad part about this? Jacob paid a price for his sin. Not the price of salvation, but for the price of fighting against God. And he would bear the marks in his sin for the rest of his life because Jacob limped the rest of his life because of his sin here. You know, we pay the price for sin. Jesus paid the price for our sin on the cross of Calvary. But you know, as Christians, if we don't repent of our sin, we're going to pay for it. We'll pay for it. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Even though we ask for forgiveness, we can bear the marks of the sin in our bodies. I call it the scars of sin. And I've known folks who were drunkards, have cirrhosis of the liver, and they pray to get saved, and God gloriously saves them, but they still got cirrhosis of the liver. The smoker with bad lungs and has emphysema gets saved. He still has those effects on his lungs. The drug addict with a fried brain gets saved. He still has a fried brain. There's the scars of sin. And when we dabble in sin, we pay for it. We had a fellow in our church in Wisconsin, Leroy, used to spar with Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. And Leroy was proud of that, and he had gone into professional boxing. He had an autographed pair of Muhammad Ali's boxing trunks. But Leroy got off in the wrong crowd. Leroy got off into drinking. He got off into drugs. He'd go into bars and brawl and fight. And he'd been beaten over the head with billy clubs so many times he was thrown in prison. Leroy was on drugs. And when I met Leroy, Leroy had about a 3 to 5 minute attention span. You could talk to Leroy and you talk about something and Leroy's mind would then venture off. 3 to 5 minutes was about all he could talk. You know why? Because of the effect that the drugs had on his brain. He could have been a brilliant fighter. But the booze and the drugs and the crime ruined his life. But over visiting Leroy several times, and I talked to Leroy about the Lord, you'd have to give him in little dibs and dabs because of his short attention span. I get Leroy coming to church. And Leroy, when he'd miss, I called him. I said, Leroy, we missed you today at church. And he goes, yeah, no, you didn't. I said, Leroy, we missed you. I said, a lot of people ask about you. Nobody asked about me. I said, yes, they did. After a couple of weeks of that, Leroy said, you mean people really ask about me? I said, sure, Leroy. Folks miss. He says, you mean people miss me for not being there? See, people didn't love Leroy. Leroy was a mean man. I did some boxing in high school. Leroy wanted to box with me. I wouldn't box. He would have tore me up. Even though he was out of shape and everything, he was good. I've seen him box. Seen him go down to the wire, and he's out of shape. His brain was fried. And I saw him beat the daylights out of a strapping young man about 22, 3 years old who had big muscles. And you could see the hard life on Leroy's face. About 4 or 5 punches, this guy was down there on the canvas. But when Leroy realized that, A, that people loved him and God loved him, one day, as I'd talked to Leroy, Leroy bowed his head and prayed and asked Jesus to come into his heart and save him. Well, let me tell you this, even though Leroy's saved and I baptized him, because of his sin and his hard life, his brain still fried. That's what happened to Jacob. He limped the rest of his life. I've seen things over the years where God would take the husband or the wife or the child or the job or something else. And then they get right with God, but the price has still been paid. And it cannot be reversed. My friends, do you ever get down on your knees and tell God what you know yourself to be? Have you ever admitted who you are, that I'm a sinner and I need salvation? If you've learned to do that, you've learned the secret of blessing, and God will change your life and make it new. As Christians, have we ever come to the place of saying, God, I need your help. There's sin in my life as a Christian. I need to get rid of it so I can draw close to God. My friends, if you're not saved, you can receive Christ as your Savior. You can ask Him to forgive you of your sins. And the wonderful thing, the Bible said, God will do that. And as saved people, listen, we can always come to God. The Bible said He's a very present help in the time of need. Aren't you glad that He is? Here's Jacob and Esau. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Let's bow our heads this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed as the pianist and the song leader come this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask you today, what's your standing before God? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? The question is not, are you a good wife or husband or child or student, a good worker? But the question is, how do you stand before God? Do you know Him as your Savior? Listen, God loves you and He wants to save you. Esau rejected the grace of God, and he didn't have to. That was his choice. And the choice is yours this morning. How many by uplifted hand would raise your hand silently, signifying, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I'm not ashamed of that. Would you raise your hand before God as a testimony? Amen. Now put them down. Now let me ask you this. You couldn't raise your hand. You're not saved. I could plead with you today to get saved. I can't get saved for you. But if you'd like to be saved today, could you raise your hand that I might pray for you? I won't call out your name. I won't point you out. I won't embarrass you. But just silently raise your hand that I might know that you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior. Would you raise it up? Wherever you're at in the auditorium, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Is there one? You're not saved. God wants to save you. You're saved. You've not been baptized. You need to come today and let the folks know you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join this church as we receive members. Maybe you just want to come and pray for that lost loved one, for whatever it is in your life. The opportunity is here. Let God have His will and way in your life today. Father, we come to You today and thank You for Your love and mercy and grace and for Your blessings. And Father, my prayer today, if there's even one here today that knows not Jesus as their Savior, may they come. And we can have somebody take the Bible and show them from God's Word how they might be sure of heaven. And Father, our prayer today for brothers and sisters in Christ, if there's anyone here today, they need to come and just pray and talk to You. The altars are here, the front row of the pews here. Folks can sit down or kneel down and pray and talk to You. Father, maybe folks need to come and join our church. Folks maybe need to come and say, I need to be baptized. But Father, whatever the need is, we're here, Father, and we ask for Your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand this morning.